Well, I thought I solely enjoyed the banquet last night. What a tribute to the Lord and to the faithfulness of your pastor and also his wife and the church. Thank God for all of you. But I made some thoughts this morning, if you allow me just for a moment before I begin. What I learned last evening. First of all, I approached the building with awe, really. I had not seen the beautiful front that you had put up since I was here last, and I credit you for that. You know, the building, we understand, is just a house. We understand it's not the church, but it is a testimony of people's love for the Lord. And so the beautiful facility, the lighting, all that is, it was a tribute to you, and I noticed it was well-maintained, attractive, and I think that speaks highly of a church and their attitude toward the Lord Jesus Christ. So I commend you for that. You have a great spirit. Faithful workers and faithful followers. I appreciate the spirit last night. My, that was such an encouragement to my heart. And thank you for your testimonies, but just your spirit is such a blessing. I think it's a reflection of your pastor and his wife. And you have the right purpose. I was noticing my wife brought my attention to the purpose of the statement on the back wall. What a testimony. And that's exactly how it ought to be. Born again believers seeking to honor the Lord by diligent study of the Bible, caring for each other, and sharing your faith with the lost. That's exactly what we ought to be doing. That's why the Lord left us here. And then I thought about your the godly leadership God has brought to you, and I'm thankful for that. Sometimes it's like a little bit like toilet paper last year. We didn't realize how important it was till we couldn't get a hold of it very quickly. Excuse me for that indelicacy, but I couldn't think of anything better. You know, you don't appreciate water until your water's turned off, or electricity until your electricity's turned off. And so I'm thankful you appreciate your pastor and his wife, and you demonstrated that last night, and I commend you for that, because God has, as he said, we think of faces, human faces, and it's really the Lord, but God uses people. Years ago, someone has said, the length and breadth of any great institution is but the shadow of one great man, And I'm not saying that to say we pastors know that we're not great people, but you have a godly leader, and I thank God for his godliness. I've known him before he ever came here and watched him, and I was very thankful to have his influence among our young people in our school. I'm a little jealous of Brother White, though. My wife can remember his sermons, but she can't remember mine. She says, I remember when he preached. So there's something about Pastor White that he does a great job. And an excellent teacher, a very intelligent, bright guy, and loves the Lord. And Suzanne by his side. By the way, I say often, and I believe Pastor White would say the same thing, my wife allows me to be a pastor. And I say that because it's very necessary for the wife to be with her husband in these things, or otherwise the husband just can't do what God's calling to do. And you have to be very thankful for his wife, and I know you are, but I'm just saying, the trials that the Whites have gone through, and I don't know many of them, I just know a few, but there are some wives that would say, I'm not going to go through that. And she may not be smiling there, but she did allow church in her dining room, and the church was able to continue there. So the point is that I'm very grateful for what God has given you here, and I thank God for that. Tonight, the Lord willing, I'll be preaching a message on the purpose of God as to do with the local church. In other words, if we're doing what God is in, then that's the priority, it ought to be the priority of our lives. If God's not in it, then we ought to find something else to do that he is in, because one day that's all that's going to matter. The old saying is, only one life will soon be passed, only what's done for Christ for last. You've heard that. But I would suggest an alteration of that just slightly, saying only what fulfills the purpose of Christ will last. In other words, doing what he gave us to do is what I'm going to speak about tonight. But this morning, Ephesians chapter 3, and I don't know, Pastor White, I didn't ask you if you're in the habit of standing, but I'm only going to read one verse today. And so, and because of that, I think I'll not have you. I'll have you turn there, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 21, if you would please. And may I say quickly, I am deeply honored by this privilege, and I mean that sincerely, deeply honored. Of all the people that have influenced the Whites over their lives, and all the people that have influenced this church, the pastors I'm talking about, he could have had dozens of choices. But the fact that he allowed me to come, and I so appreciate his kindness and his allowing me to be here, I appreciate that so much. I want to be helpful. As a matter of fact, it's been such an earnest desire of mine today to be helpful that I've changed my message about three times just this morning. So if you allow me grace, I appreciate that. We're in a good place for that, aren't we? Ephesians 3:21, unto him, that's of course talking about our Lord Jesus, be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Our Father, we bow before you because we acknowledge again our great need of your help and your unction. And Lord, with all the responsibility that's on this particular hour, I pray that you'll help us. It's not only to listen, but also to be filled with the Holy Spirit, that we might be able to speak as it ought to be spoken. We are thankful, Lord, for the Whites. Thank you for this church. Thank you for these dear folks who stand by and by the side and serve together. What a joy it is. But Lord, we need you this morning more than anything. And I thank you for the honor you've received, even from this people, even at last night and this morning again. We rejoice in all of that. Lord, be honored, I pray, in the preaching for Jesus' sake. Amen. I like that verse. The Bible says, unto him, unto Jesus, be glory in the church by Christ Jesus. You think about the church, and you think about the Lord Jesus Christ, who the Bible says is the head of the church, and the church is his body, and that's a marvelous thought today, that what we're doing has everything to do with the Lord Jesus Christ. Even Jesus himself said that two or three gathering together, he's in the midst of that. And so Jesus Christ is very prominent and preeminent in the local church, as it ought to be. Why is that so? Well, I think because of the fact of Jesus Christ and his magnificent person. Think of the person that we're serving today. Think of the Lord Jesus Christ. Think of the fact of the way he spoke to people. You know, Brother White mentioned about balance, and I find there's a time to be kind and compassionate, there's time to be earnest. And you look at Jesus Christ, you see him scathing the Pharisees for the way they pretended to be what they thought they were going to be, and then his kindness to the widow or the woman taken in adultery or others as he spoke with compassion and care. The Bible says they marveled at the gracious words that proceeded out of his mouth. Now, I want to be like Jesus, as Brother White said, or Brother Kelly said this morning in Sunday school. Anybody doesn't want to be like Jesus, you have to question their salvation, really. I want to be like Jesus. But one of the things I notice about the Lord Jesus is the way he spoke. In many things we offend all, the Bible says. If any man offend not in word, he is same as a perfect man and able also to bridle the whole body. Brethren, we have to be honoring the Lord Jesus Christ because of the way he spoke, the words that he spoke, but also, I believe, his great compassion. Yesterday I had a funeral, and I was thinking as I watched the family in their time of sorrow, and it was one of those situations, Brother White, you have where I was called in because they didn't have a pastor, and I didn't know the person, I didn't know much about him, but I began to feel a compassion for people as they're grieving for the loved one, and I remember the fact that the songwriter said, "Does Jesus care when I've said goodbye to the dearest on earth to me? And my sad heart aches till it nearly breaks. Is it aught to him? Does he see?" And then I remember the songwriter answered his own question. Oh, yes, he cares. I know he cares. His heart is touched with my grief. Though the days are weary and the long nights dreary, I know my Savior cares. And you know, I reminded that family, there's a Savior in heaven who loves you and cares about your sorrow. He knows your sorrow. I'm thankful that we have a Savior that is the head of this body, who has compassion, and also, I think, is careful, and in his words as he speaks, even to those in his day. But that's not the marvelous thing about the Lord Jesus Christ is his mighty power. I was trained really in science and engineering, that kind of thing, before I was saved, and I was always taught we kind of got here by some chance process of evolution, and we just kind of, you know, evolved into what we are. And when I got saved, it was no problem at all for me to believe that Jesus Christ created this world in six literal days, and then rested the seventh, just like the Bible says. And from that time till this, and that's been almost 50 years now, I've been marveling at the creative power of the Lord Jesus Christ, the fact that he created all things, and even the smallest little bugs and all their intricacies, their difficulties, and the beauty of those little bugs, even the magnificent universe around us. Isn't it marvelous that we serve a God who is so powerful, so mighty? And we see it in creation, but we also see in the way he cares for his creation. My wife has this habit, and it's part of this. We've been married 51 years now, but I tell you, I'll never understand it. She feels like those little birds are going to die if she doesn't feed them outside. So we spend lots of money on bird seed. I mean, we find big bags of bird seed. And those birds, they flock to our yard, and she feels so comforted that she's feeding the birds. Well, I didn't want to tell her that God is the one that feeds those birds. And they do quite well before we showed up. And that's the way our Father is. He cares about even sparrows that fall, birds that need food. And He cares about us people. He cares about us. I appreciated so much the Sunday school hour Brother Kelly taught about the all things that work together for good in our lives. And God even allows things in our lives that aren't pleasant, but they're profitable. Because He loves us. He cares for us. And I'm glad we serve a Savior. I'm glad we serve a Savior who's the head of the body that cares about His people. He loves us. And so it is seen in His care, and it's seen also in His preparation. I marvel at the fact that Jesus said, I'm preparing a place for you. And I'm going to come again and receive you unto myself. It used to bother me when I first got saved. Where is heaven? I mean, I just really struggled about that. Where is heaven? And finally I realized, well, heaven is where Jesus is. So I don't have to worry about it anymore because He's coming to lead us there, the Bible says. As your pastor said this morning, it's a marvelous thought, the beauty of heaven and all that we have. And I want to talk about that a little bit tonight, Lord willing. But think about the fact of the Lord Jesus Christ coming to receive us unto Himself. So much so that when David could say in Psalm 23, though I pass through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil because the Lord Thou art with me. So He's preparation for the saints, but also we understand that He's a God of preparation even for the lost. And that's a sad thing to say, but the Bible says, He says, you depart from me, you cursed into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. I sat in church for all of my 20 years. I mean, I went to a church that didn't really preach the gospel. I mean, the pastor used a Bible, but the gospel was really not. I was never challenged about the matter of personal salvation. And as I grew up in that church, I got to thinking that if my good works would just outweigh my bad works, if I could just be a good boy, if I could somehow be kind and polite and other things, you know, that God would have to take me to heaven because, after all, He wouldn't send a good person to hell. When I was 20 years old, I learned the truth that you can go to hell as being a good person. I was challenged in this fact as a boy. I went to a big meeting to date the gal who's now my wife. Because her father said to me, to her, if you want to meet him, he's going to go with you to that youth rally. And so I went, large youth rally. And the pastor the preacher that day, challenged us this way. He said, I don't know who you are and all you are. There's quite a large crowd there. But he says, I will tell you this. The Apostle Paul had several opportunities to share his testimony. And his testimony always consisted of three things. First was what his life was like before he met Jesus. That was his first testimony. He talked about his life as a Pharisee of the Pharisees. He talked about that. And then he talked about the day that he met Jesus Christ on that Damascus road. He talked about Jesus and how he met him. And then his third part of his testimony was how his life had changed since he met Jesus Christ. And he said, now, if you're saved, then you ought to have a testimony. And I'd never heard that before. I never thought about that before, but I had never met Jesus Christ. I knew about Jesus Christ. I had talked about Jesus Christ. I had heard about Jesus, but I never had met him. I never had trusted him. And that was the day back in 1968 I put my faith and trust in Jesus, and that's when Jesus Christ became my Savior. So it's seen also in the fact of his careful preparation. I'm looking forward to heaven. I'm glad I'm not going to hell. But yet the Bible teaches us that we all must have that time when we meet Jesus Christ, when we come face to face with our need of Him because of our lost condition and look to Him only for salvation. Well, He's the glory of His church, and I'm grateful to be a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'd rather serve Jesus than I'd serve any high official or president or whoever, and I'm grateful to be a servant of Jesus Christ, glad to be known as a child of God. But that's not exactly what the verse is saying. It says, unto Him be glory in the church. Is that what your Bible says? That's what mine says. In the church by Jesus Christ. So how is the Lord glorified in the church? Well, I think that we can clearly understand. First of all, He's glorified by those who are saved in the church. In John 17, Jesus in His high priestly prayer, as He's praying to His Father before the cross, He said, I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which Thou hast given me, for they are Thine, and all mine are Thine, and Thine are mine. And He says this, I am glorified in them. Do you ever think about that? Jesus Christ is glorified in your salvation. He's glorified in the fact that you have come to trust him as Savior and now has become, you are his child. It was Wesley that wrote, he owns me for his own. I can no longer fear. With confidence, I now draw near. With confidence, I now draw near. Yeah, he owns me for his child. Born again, child of God. What a blessing. So, Jesus Christ is glorified by our salvation, but even more so, I believe, after salvation, he's glorified by their transformation. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 30, of him are you in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. I don't know all your testimonies. I've heard some of your testimonies, and it's such an encouragement also. But think of those whose lives have been transformed by the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know the story of John Newton, do you not? John Newton, who wrote that wonderful song that we sing, Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound That Saved a Wretch Like Me. He was right about that. He was a wretch. He was a slave ship captain and then ultimately became a slave of slaves, even though he had a godly mother who died young and went off with his father to sea. But when John Newton met Jesus, he knew what all about amazing grace. And I believe God is glorified by John Newton's life to see what he had been and what he has become. I remember years ago when I was in school hearing about Mel Trotter. I think I have the story right. Mel Trotter was a drunkard, actually. A hopeless drunkard. He left his wife really without money and without any means really of support hardly. He would bring home the few cents he had left after he bought his liquor. And if I have my story correctly on this, I didn't have the time to go back and check it all out, but Mel Trotter had a little baby who had gotten very sick. And as I understand the story, his wife did what she could to provide a little casket and a funeral for the baby that was sick. And Mel Trotter promised her, he says, I'll straighten up, I'll start doing right, my heart's broken, and so forth. But the story goes that Mel Trotter, in order to get another drink of whiskey or liquor, snuck into that funeral home and took the baby's shoes off and went and sold them for another drink. Then he got saved not long after that. And Mel Trotter became a famous preacher. I believe he founded rescue missions and so forth to help other drunks. I'm saying Jesus Christ is glorified, not only our salvation, but our transformation. I'm glad I'm not the one I used to be. I'm glad Jesus is changing me into his image, as Brother Kelly talked about this morning. I'm glad he's doing that, because that's what I needed. And by the way, I learned something about the Lord Jesus Christ as he transforms us. That I always wanted to be like Jesus from the time I was born again. Oh, if I could just be like Jesus. I read about him. I wanted to emulate him and everything. But only recently I learned something more about the Lord Jesus Christ. He was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Now, I like to hear about Jesus and his great miracles that he did and so forth. But when I read about his sorrows and his grief, sometimes that I shrink from that a little bit. That cross sometimes becomes awful heavy. But Jesus Christ is glorified even through those times of difficulty as he transforms us into his image. So Jesus Christ is glorified in his church by the salvation of souls and by the transformation of those souls and also by their worship. Brother Kelly challenged us. He got up to sing this morning. We need to worship the Lord. Yes, we're celebrating our 15th anniversary, and well, we should, but this is the Lord's day, and we're honoring him by our praise. Do you know that when you lift your voice in praise to the Lord, you're actually honoring him, glorifying him in the church? I grew up in a church, as I said, where really the Bible wasn't preached as truth, and therefore the gospel was not given regularly. I never challenged about salvation, but also, after I got saved, my wife and I was a new Christian. I would go back to that church sometime, and I could, when we stood up to sing, I sang. Everybody looked at me like, what kind of a crazy guy is this? He's singing in church. And everybody thought, I think they thought that you're supposed to hold the hymn book and just look at the leader. They didn't have a song leader back then. But I believe our praise to the Lord honors him. You know, the Bible talks about those 10 lepers that were healed. Remember that story? Gee, they were crying out, Lord, please help us, heal us. And Jesus said, go show yourself to the priests. And as they went, they were healed. Now, it's a little bit of a picture of you and I going through our lives and Jesus, we meet Jesus in some way, either through a gospel message or a tract or preaching service, and we meet Jesus and we're healed, we're changed. But remember that one came back who was a Samaritan. He came back and kneeled at the feet of Jesus and gave him thanks. And Jesus says, were there not 10 cleansed? Weren't there 10 here just a little bit ago? Did I not heal 10? Why is there just one returning to give glory to God? In other words, gratitude shows glory to Jesus Christ. Are you grateful today? You know, we talked about the church, and we ought to be grateful. What a blessing you have here. Really, you do. But sometimes we can just come in and go through motions and go home and, you know, never say, Lord, thank you for what you've done for us. Thank you for allowing Pastor and Mrs. White to go through all they did just so they could be our pastor and give to us all the things you've taught them over the years. Thank you, Lord, for others around us that we can encourage one another, exhorting one another so much the more as we see the day approach. Thank you for a church. Thank you for godly helpers that God's raised up. It's kind of a lonely thing when you're by yourself, as Pastor White would understand. But when he raises up godly people to help along the way, are you grateful? That honors the Lord. So first of all, Jesus Christ is the glory of his church, but he's also glorified in his church. That's what the scripture says. And oh, that it may always be the case that this place, this church, this body glorifies the Lord Jesus Christ. But I could not help but continue my thoughts in that way and say, oh, Jesus Christ is also glorified by his church. Now, he's glorified in the church as we gather together, but he's glorified by the church as the word of God is preached. You know, I've heard several of you say what a help Pastor White has been to you, but Pastor White would be the first one to say, I'm just telling you what the Bible says. I'm just giving you the word. But that, of course, is the key. And when the word of God is given, it's interesting, the Bible says of John 1 that Jesus Christ is the word, and he was in the word, and the word was made flesh and dwelt among us. So we understand it's talking about Jesus, but in the logos of God, but in a sense, he's also given us this word also, as he's given to us, and we believe it. We believe that God has given us this word, and he's given it for us. So when the word of God is preached, what we're doing is we're glorifying the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that marvelous? That's why, brethren, it's important for God's people to show up when the preaching goes on and the teaching goes on, because that's glorifying the Lord, the advancement of the Word of God. But more than that, even their obedience to the Word. The Word of God is not helpful if we don't do it. We sing the little song, Trust and Obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Well, it's true also that we can't please Jesus unless we're obedient. I may be talking to someone this morning, I don't know, but in my church, every day I preach, every time I preach. I know there's some people out there that have been saved, but they're very, I'm not sure about being baptized. Well, wait a minute. You know, are you ashamed of Jesus? Why wouldn't you want to be baptized? I don't know if I'm speaking like that to someone today. I wouldn't know if I knew you. But the fact is that baptism is an essential first step of obedience to the Lord. And so you've been saved. Jesus went to the cross for you publicly and in shame, but your testimony is that I've believed in Jesus and what he's done for me. And so baptism is an important picture of that. That's just one step. Tithing, I every time I talk about giving, some people get mad at me. Family even left the church because they only talk about giving. Well, to me, that's part of the Christian life. Jesus Christ has provided for me, and he's given me a wonderful privilege to lay up treasure in heaven. I cannot get over that. Do you ever think about that statement? The Bible says this. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth where moth and rust corrupt and thieves break through and steal. But then he says this, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where thieves cannot break through and steal and moth and rust cannot corrupt. Well, the point is this, that word for yourselves indicates to me that there's something, a benefit to us personally by our advancing our income onto heaven. And so I get excited about giving, frankly. You'll excuse me for that. But I think it's a wonderful opportunity to lay up treasure in heaven. When I got saved, I was a 20-year-old young man, and I was in my junior year of engineering school. And my purpose for going to engineering was very selfish. I wanted to make a lot of money, live in a nice house, and drive a nice car. And so they told me, if you go into engineering, you'll make a lot of money, and you live in a nice house, and drive a nice car. So that's my goal. That's where I'm going to go. Well, then I got saved. I found out that even if I live in a nice house and drive a nice car and make a lot of money, that's only going to last a few years. And then you're going to be in eternity. Someone said eternity lasts a long time. And that's true. So I got to thinking about that. I said, well, does it make any sense to be drive a nice car and then be a pauper in eternity? There's nothing wrong with nice cars. I drive a nice car. Really, it's a used one, but I think it's a nice car. It's comfortable. Air conditioning works. I'm glad for that. But is there anything to lay up all of our treasure upon earth and then be paupers in heaven? I don't understand that. So it didn't make any sense to me. And God began to use that to work in my life and talking about what I was going to do with my life. And so I decided it was far better to just yield to the Lord and do whatever He wanted me to do with my life than to do my own selfish thing. Well, anyway, that's another story. But also, not only He's glorified by their preaching and teaching of the Word of God and by our obedience to the Word of God, but also by our witnessing of the Word of God. You know, that's so important. Because, and I appreciate so much your pastor and his desire to encourage the church that way. But I'm going to guess, probably, a church this size, probably there are some that maybe still have a struggle with that thing. Well, don't think of it this way. Don't think of what this means for you. Think of what it means for Jesus. After all, someone said the good news is only good news if the lost can hear it in time. And what we're doing, basically, is advancing the Lord Jesus Christ and glorifying Him by getting His word out of these walls into our community. You say, well, they don't all want to hear it. No, that's true. They don't all want to hear it, but they all need to hear it. And at least they can know that there's somebody concerned for their souls. I was driving to church this morning. We were house after house after house. I said, I'm so grateful. There's a church in this community that cares about people's souls because there's people all around that'll never hear the name of Jesus or never be challenged about receiving Him if somebody doesn't go to see them. So He's glorified. Not only is He glorified in the church, but He's glorified by the church. But could I just say to you quickly, one day He'll be glorified with His church. And I look forward to that day. Ephesians 2 verse 7 says that in the ages to come, He might show the exceeding riches of His kindness, of His grace in His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. When the bride is complete, just like the lady sang, we'll be caught away. And I'm looking forward to that day. It is coming soon. It could be today and it could be right now. It will come, be sure, because He promised He would come. One man wrote, when this passing world is done and when has sunk yon glaring sun, when I stand with Christ on high looking o'er life's history, then, Lord, shall I fully know, not till then, how much I owe. When I stand before the throne dressed in beauty not my own, when I see Thee as Thou art and love Thee with unsinning heart, then, Lord, shall I fully know, not till then, how much I owe. Even on earth as through a glass, darkly let Thy glory pass. Make forgiveness feel so sweet. Make Thy Spirit's help so meet. Even on earth, Lord, make me know something of how much I owe. I don't know what it's going to be like when we stand before the Lord Jesus, but I will tell you this. We will all be very humbled by what He's done for us and how little we've done for Him. We're humbled by how much He loved us and how little we really loved Him. We'll be humbled before Him. Let me close by just directing your attention. I won't ask you to turn there, but let me just say, you say, what's going to be like when we get to heaven? I'll give you four things very quickly. First of all, the Bible says in Revelation 22, His servants shall serve Him. What we're doing now is just going to be continued in heaven, but we'll have the privilege to do it in glorified bodies without all the pain and difficulties of this life. The Bible says we shall see His face. You know, it's a great privilege to see the Lord's face, to be able to see Him whom we have loved. David, when he brought his son back from exile, he said, you can bring Absalom back to Jerusalem, but I don't want to see him. He can live here, but I don't want to see him. Can you imagine what that'd be like? If the Lord Jesus Christ would say, okay, you can go to heaven, but I'm going to be somewhere else. No, the Bible says we'll see His face. And then the Bible says His name will be on our foreheads. I guess you'd call that heavenly tattoo. I don't know, but it's His name will be on our forehead. What's the importance of that? The importance of that is possession. We are His. We are His. We belong to Him. Because we belong to Him, we can be glorified with Him. What a thought that is. And then the Bible says we'll reign with Him forever and ever. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. That's all we can say. But He says, because you've been faithful over a few things, I will make you ruler over many things. on that day. Jesus Christ is the glory of His church. We serve a risen Savior. Hallelujah for that. But Jesus Christ is glorified in His church and by His church and one day with His church. And I'm thankful I can be part of the church. Thank God for the church. Let's pray together, shall we? Heavenly Father.